Okay, everyone, we're getting into an ad, and this one is Skims. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or the quality, but luckily the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. You've probably seen them all around. They have cropped silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees. There's a style for everyone. You guys, I have the cotton jersey t-shirt and it is so good. I've just been wearing it on rotation. I'm finding it hard to actually go put it in the laundry because I just want to keep wearing it over and over. I also have the Skims soft smoothing t-shirt, which is the most flattering t-shirt I have ever worn. Usually for me, a t-shirt is more casual wear, but this fabric is so smooth. I just will wear it to the dog park and then literally dress it up and wear it to date night.
Peyton loves her Skims. She loves everything that she has that is from Skims, so take her word for it.
So shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Peyton and I have been using Daily Harvest and we absolutely love it. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of gluten, fillers, seed oils, added starches, and sugars. It really takes the guesswork and effort out of eating food I know is good for me.
Typically, sticking to healthy habits involves eating repetitive, dull meals. However, Daily Harvest offers a wide variety to choose from at any time of day, making it a breeze to maintain those healthy habits. I really have been loving the butternut squash and rosemary soup. It's been my go-to for lunch, and I love having the dragon fruit and lime smoothie post-workout. It's so refreshing and filling, yet nutritious. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/husband to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/husband for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/husband.
And seriously, go check it out. I love Daily Harvest and I know you will too.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
If you're watching on YouTube, hi, please turn on notifications so you can be notified every single time we upload a video. Also, please leave a comment down below if you like our show. And if you are listening on podcast and can leave a review, please do that. It helps us out so much. And if not, we're just happy to have you here listening.
Yeah, sure.
Before we jump in, if you are listening to this episode right now, that means that there was also a brand new Patreon exclusive episode dropped this week. So if you want to get those bonus episodes, just visit Murder with My Husband Patreon to sign up. All right, Garrett, what is your 10 seconds for this week?
So for my 10 seconds this week, well, Peyton and I went to Idaho at like 2 a.m. the other night.
Yes.
I guess that's a pretty good 10 seconds. It was Father's Day, so we decided to drive out and surprise Peyton's dad and my father-in-law. Hello.
He listens.
He does listen.
But we decided really late and we were like, are we really going to do this? But we successfully did it. We snuck in. They didn't wake up. And then we just
surprised them the next morning. It was fun.
And it was really fun. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Okay. So our case this week was sent in by Olivia May, which is the cutest name, might I add. So Olivia May, I love your name. I wish it was mine, but you can keep it. And so thank you for sending that in. And our case sources are a disappeared episode on season 2 called Paradise Lost, and a BuzzFeed Unsolved episode called The Disturbing Mystery of the Jameson Family. And also Wikipedia has a pretty extensive page about this.
I saw something about BuzzFeed Unsolved being renewed again or something like that.
Well, they have like a lot of seasons. Oh, I mean, their episodes are short, but they go on. And I love them, by the way. So if you haven't checked them out, BuzzFeed Unsolved, this is not sponsored. I mean, I just love them. So yeah. Our case this week starts in Eufaula, Oklahoma. A woman named Sherilyn meets a man named Bobby Jameson during the summer of 2002 and immediately knew that he was the man she wanted to marry. Bobby seemed like a gentleman, and they fell in love and got married in July of 2004. Later that summer, Sherilyn and Bobby Jameson welcomed a daughter whom they named Madison into the world. Madison becomes the newlywed's whole entire world. Madison lit up their life together. It's now 2009, And Bobby Dell is 44. And oh, I'm going to say their middle names because their daughter Madison has a very good one. So I'm just going to go through those.
Okay.
So Bobby Dell, the dad, is 44 now. Sherilyn Leanne is 40. And Madison Stormy Star is 6.
Okay.
That is a cute name as well. So the Jameson family have been looking to buy a 40-acre plot of land near Red Oak, which is roughly around 30 miles away from their home in Eufaula. They had found the secluded land on the internet and wanted a fresh start for themselves. Moving near Panola Mountain, which is by the property, is exactly what they want. They would be living next to a small community there who all pride themselves on independence and self-sufficiency, which is exactly the slow lifestyle that the Jameson family is looking for. It's a very off-grid area. You would need a generator, a septic system. A lot of people there live off-grid, okay. That type of thing. And this is exactly what the Jameson family is looking for.
Yeah.
On October 7th, 2009, at 10 a.m., the Jamesons load up their pickup truck to go look at the property they had found. They plan to take a storage container that they already owned on their property they lived in now and move it up to the new property and live in that because the new property didn't have a house. And I'm only including that detail so you can understand how off-grid they were wanting to go. During the drive up to the new property, the Jamesons run into someone who already lives off-grid up in the area. They stop to talk to him, and the Jamesons tell him that they are looking at buying this land in the area, and they begin asking him questions about it. Like, how do you live? What's your, like, solutions to things? Bobby and Sherilyn asked the guy for directions to the specific plot of land they had found online because they were kind of lost and struggling finding it. And he goes, oh, this is where you're going to go to get there. And so they finally drive to see the property in person. The next morning, October 8th, 2009, the Jamieson family packs up once again and heads up the mountain to see their property. This was the place they would live out their dreams together and alone. 8 days later, on October 18th, 2009, near Red Oak, Oklahoma, some hunters are hunting for the day when they come across a parked truck near the top of Panola Mountain. It's around 3 p.m. when they discover the truck and they get out and peek in the windows. They find a sickly looking dog abandoned in the truck. She had been stuck in the truck for days with no food or water.
Oh my gosh.
The hunters look around for anyone else but find nothing and decide to call the Latimer County Sheriff's Office. Police respond to the call, find the abandoned truck, and break the glass to safely get the dog out and taken care of. Police begin searching the vehicle and immediately feel like something had gone wrong here. In addition to the dog being left, police found cell phones, a wallet, and purse in the truck, as if whoever had abandoned the truck had planned on coming back way sooner than today. Police also find a bank bag stashed underneath the driver's seat with $32,000 of cash in it.
Okay.
Police identify the truck and belongings as the Jamieson family's truck. Police believe that Bobby, Sherilyn, and their now six-year-old daughter, Madison, must have parked the truck and gotten lost in the woods nearby somehow.
Yeah, because it's weird that the money, like if someone was trying to rob them or something, there was 30 grand just sitting
in the truck.
Yeah.
It would be quite easy to get lost in this area as they didn't know the area well. They had just gotten lost the day before, as we know. Well, the day before they went missing. And, you know, the woods were dense. It's hard to see once you walked in. So 5 to 6 deputies begin searching the surrounding area of the mountain. Police knew that they needed to move fast. After talking around, they discovered that no one had seen the family for roughly 8 days. And it being October, the nights were getting cold. The family's jackets and coats had all been left in the truck with the rest of their belongings, which made police believe that if there was any chance that they were lost and alive, they didn't have long to find them. Mm-hmm. It had been 8 days. As the search was going on, police also began trying to figure out the last moments of the family's life before they had vanished. Why had no one reported a whole family missing? It had been 8 days. Law enforcement discovers that the Jamieson family was a private family, and with their new direction in life, trying to go off-grid, it wasn't unusual for them to go days without speaking to friends or family. They would leave town without telling anyone and had also just pulled Madison out of school because they were wanting to homeschool her once they moved up to this new property they were looking at. So on October 17th, 2009, the search party uses the family cell phones inside the truck to identify if they had moved at some point with them. And it looked like they had. The GPS on the phones showed that they had walked up the hill at some point with the phones, and police positively identify six-year-old shoe prints and some mud along the way.
So like they walked up and somehow came back and
put the cell phones, back in the truck
and
then went missing.
Okay.
They followed the footprints up to a rock where the family had spent about 15 to 20 minutes hanging out, it looks like, according to the GPS systems. They noticed the cell phone had a picture of Madison on it from this area that was taken that day. So they hiked up, took a picture of Madison on the phone, hiked back, put the cell phones in the truck, and went missing. So there's a picture of her right before this family went missing. And all seemed well in the picture. It looks like after taking the photo, the Jameson family hiked back down to their truck, and what happened next is a mystery. Upon the discovery and remembering the large amount of money in the truck, police decide to tape off the truck and start treating the area like a crime scene instead of a family who had maybe gotten lost in the woods. Essentially, what we know so far is that this family, who was looking to go off-grid and had found a property to do so near Panola Mountain, had packed up their truck one day with their coats and purses and wallets and toys for Madison, as well as $32,000 in cash, and had made their way up the mountain.
So they had everything.
They still had a house.
But they had a bunch of stuff.
They had a lot of stuff.
Okay.
They had pulled their truck off the road, gotten out, bringing their cell phones with them, and hiked a ways up the mountain to hang out as a family, taking a picture of Madison while doing so. And then afterwards, they hiked back down, put all of their belongings, including their dog, their coats, everything in the truck, locked the truck. All of that was locked inside of the truck, and then vanished together as a family without a trace.
I don't understand. I don't even know how you figure out what happened.
It's like almost an impossible feat.
Yeah, there's no one up there. Anything.
So if the family had willingly left, leaving all of their belongings behind, why leave the dog to die? So if they were like, we're going to disappear, why leave the dog to die in the truck? Why not just leave the dog back at your house property?
Also, I already said it earlier, but you wouldn't leave 30 grand just sitting there.
Especially if you were going to go off grid.
Yeah.
Police think that as the family was leaving that day, they were stopped by someone and met foul play. So they don't think it was willingly that they left. There were no signs of struggle, though, by the truck. No blood, no broken glass, no signs of a fight. How do you get three family members vanished or in your car, wherever they took them, without any signs of it? Police keep the area taped off and continue the deeper search of the truck, digging through the many bags and belongings that were in there. This is when they come across a buried 11-page letter written from Sherilyn to Bobby. So from wife to husband.
Ooh, okay.
In this 11-page letter, Sherilyn was lashing out hard against Bobby. It was filled with hate, addressing the stress of the marriage, talking about divorce. Police ask family and friends, and they confirm the status of the Jamesons' marriage, the rocky relationship between Sherilyn and Bobby. They had been looking at selling their house and moving off-grid in hopes of fixing their broken relationship instead of getting a divorce. Police asked when the relationship had taken a downturn, and everyone pointed back to 2003, when Bobby had been involved in a car accident. He was driving his truck and came around a blind curve and was hit on both sides, making him unable to work and suffering from chronic pain. Medicine wasn't helping with the pain afterwards, and he became depressed. The inability to do daily things and depression put a strain on their marriage. Mm-hmm. Upon discovering this new evidence, police are even more worried when family tells them that Sherilyn actually owned a pistol that she carried in the truck usually. Police search the truck and even the Jameson house 30 miles away, but still don't find the pistol.
It's still just weird to me because say she did go and decide to kill them. I mean, everything's in the car. There's phones, there's money. So this whole thing is just...
It's just strange. Super and also, weird. It's pretty... I mean, I don't want to say it's easy, but in a wooden area where you have acres and acres of land, it's pretty easy to hide two bodies. But to hide your own body after... If it's a murder-suicide, right?
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't a murder-suicide, she would have taken the money.
Yeah.
But if it is a murder-suicide, which police are now thinking, how is she hiding herself? She has to be out in the open mm-hmm. somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been 2 days since police discovered the Jamesons' abandoned truck, and they are no closer to figuring out what happened to the family. Things have just seemed to actually get more confusing now. All the fire departments and locals decide it was time to do a huge search for the missing family. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. Last, with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Taking charge of your health means super mindful about what we put into our bodies. Whether it's food or supplements, we are constantly on the hunt for the best options. That's why we can't wait to tell you about Thorne.
Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally. Plus, they team up with leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. Whether it's their B-complex, creatine, magnesium citrate, or basic prenatal, Thorne's got all the supplements you need to help promote and maintain your goals. I take the vitamin D supplement because last time I went in and got my labs done, I was lacking a little in that area, so I'm really pumped about that.
With Thorne, we've never been able to question what's in each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. In fact, they use such thorough testing and a super clean manufacturing process, they've earned some of the highest certifications in the industry. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/husband and use code husband for 10% off your first order. Again, that's thorne.fit/husband, code husband for 10% off your first order.
thorne.fit/husband, code husband. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy, and even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it, so it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part. And Peyton has always wanted to learn a language. So she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The rough terrain of the mountain made it extremely hard. Tracking dogs, helicopters, police release everything they can. The dogs hint on a large water tank, but nothing is found inside. Missing posters are hung up around Oklahoma for the missing family. Police begin diving deeper into the Jamesons' lives as time goes on. They discover that Sherilyn and Bobby had some secret beliefs about spirituality, that they see and talk to spirits and all of that. The angels had been playing with Madison, and she was talking to them as well. So Madison, the six-year-old, was also talking to these spirits. Okay. And that they also had some evil spirits lurking around their house as well, and had actually asked a local preacher if there was a special bullet they could buy to kill these bad spirits.
Whoa.
Sherilyn had begun spray painting things in the neighborhood, things like witches don't like their cats being killed. She had told people that she was a witch at times, and her cat had actually died, and she felt that someone in the neighborhood had poisoned it. So she was spray painting things to try to get a message across. Mm. And once again, this case grows more interesting, but no closer to finding the family.
Yeah, because I don't know, I guess everyone has some weird
everyone has their
secret
own life.
Or I don't know, everyone has their own life.
And what constitutes weird?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So on October 23rd, 2009, 7 days after the Jamison family's truck was found, police discovered that the Jamison family's home was outfitted with surveillance cameras and had actually caught the family on camera the day they went missing, packing their truck up to go to the mountain.
Okay.
At some point, the couple is seen bringing out a brown briefcase to the truck that wasn't found in the truck when police searched it. So this makes the pistol, the gun, and the briefcase are the only two things missing.
What the heck?
Along with this family. A briefcase that they don't know what's inside, and a gun, and the family are all missing.
And what could possibly be in the briefcase?
Right?
Like was it just a regular size briefcase?
Yes, and the money bag was underneath.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this surveillance footage, though, is that the couple walked in and out of the home multiple times in what some people would call a trance-like state, according to the Disappeared episode that covered this. Police found it weird that both Sherilyn and Bobby probably walked in and out of the house packing the car around 20 times that morning. And each time they would pass each other, they wouldn't acknowledge each other. They wouldn't look in each other's direction. It was just like
almost
walking
like,
in and out.
So when you say that, do you mean almost like they were like being followed or being watched or something?
Like my first thought was forced, right? Like there's someone standing out of the camera's way forcing them to do this, or those evil spirits got them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a personal thing. Or drugs. Like there's maybe they're
just out of it.
Yes. So psychologists actually study the footage and conclude that the behavior indicated drug use.
Okay.
So they go with like the most obvious sign and say, this is why we think the family's acting like this. It's weird enough that behavior that something, you can tell something's off. And in Oklahoma, there is actually a major problem with meth. And police feel like this drug connection could explain the money found in the truck. Mm. Like, because both Sherilyn and Bobby weren't working. They were just getting disability checks from the government. So it didn't make sense that they couldn't track where this $32,000 had come from.
What about the daughter? Was she walking in out of the house? What was going on with her?
No, she's not packing the truck with the husband and wife. So friends and family think the police are wrong, that the Jamesons didn't use drugs, that they weren't selling drugs. This was not how they were making the money. They couldn't explain the money, but they were like, there's no way this couple's just like a normal couple.
They
believe in their spirituality thing, but that doesn't make, they're not doing anything wrong. They're not harming anybody.
They're not doing meth.
Yes.
Okay.
So police confront the family with the cameras, asking why they would need so many cameras if they weren't connected in shady business. Like, which I mean, maybe just for safety. Okay. But
Payne's got a lot of cameras.
But police are like, why do they need this many cameras? Yeah. Family tells them, okay, the reason they installed these cameras is because Bobby's father, Madison's grandpa, was abusive and threatening, and that that was the reasons they had installed them, and that Bobby had actually filed a protective order against his dad, stating in it that he had purposely hit him with his car at one point, that he had threatened to kill him multiple times, wow, and that he was scared for his life.
But I guess in the early 2000s, it would be a little strange.
For that many cameras.
Because
it's not like a Ring doorbell that everyone
now
has.
Everyone, I mean, they're a lot more accessible than they were before.
I agree. So the FBI is actually called in on this case, and they searched the family home, and there were no traces of drugs in the family home or the family vehicle.
Okay.
Police learned that Sherilyn had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and struggled with taking her medication. Friends and family say that when Sherilyn was taking her meds, she was great, but anytime she felt good and would try to go off them, she would become a whole different person. She was very angry. And people think this explains the angry letter that they found and some of the disturbing journal entries that they actually found in her journal back home. Investigators rule out her disorder as having anything to do with the family disappearance, though. They also rule out murder-suicide, and they also rule out drugs. So now we're kind of back to, did the family just
rule out
get
everything?
Lost?
Yeah.
Yes. By November 1st, it's been 3 weeks since the family went missing, and there has been a lot of evidence, a lot of backstory come up, but nothing that can help them solve this case. But around this time, police learn that in July of 2009, the Jamesons had actually taken in a boarder who lived with them that was a handyman. They allowed him to live there as long as he worked on the house and did the things that Bobby couldn't do because of his injuries. But the man had made Sherilyn uncomfortable by telling her that she thinks she should be killed for having Indian blood. He was kind of like a white supremacist. Oh. And so Sherilyn actually pointed her gun at the man and said, "You need to leave. Get out of my house." The FBI tracks down this handyman and rule him out as a suspect as well. Like, he had an alibi.
Okay.
So a lot of locals begin to point fingers at the Jamesons as being involved in gang or local crime. Like, that's got to be why they went missing. But police don't think those are true. They say the family isn't involved
in any
shady business.
They're just gone in the
wind.
Yes. They're just gone.
And all these leads lead nowhere. The search was eventually called off, and the Jameson family disappearance became a cold case. They had nothing to go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until November 16th, 2013, almost 4 years after the Jamesons family went missing, hunters were out searching the woods for a place to hunt in like days coming up when they come across some bones, human bones. And it ended up being the partial skeletons of three different bodies, two adults and one child.
Wow. Okay.
These remains were found less than 3 miles away from where the Jamesons family truck had been abandoned that day. Police searched the surrounding area where the bodies were found and found a pair of shoes, torn clothing, adult teeth, and some more bones. And the bones would eventually be confirmed as the Jamesons family, Bobby, Sherilyn, and Madison.
All of them.
All of them.
Okay.
The question is, were they alive during the time of the search? And that's why they hadn't been found, because they weren't 3 miles away? Or had they really been there the whole time? I mean, this search was one of the most exhaustive searches in this town's history. And they were only 3 miles away from the truck.
That's what I was going to say is, I kind of have a feeling they were a lot. I don't know.
Like,
don't
hadn't know. Landed yeah. there yet. A cause of death could not be identified because there was no evidence of trauma to the bone and there was no skin left. It was only bones. They were outside for 4 years. The cause of death was ruled suspicious, though, because they have no idea how they weren't found out there and how they even got there. And just like everything else in this case, the bodies didn't seem to help. They got the thing you need the most to solve a case, and it still got them nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the disappearance of the missing Jamesons family is still a mystery to this day.
What? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to be like, and this happened and then this happened.
Nope, it's an unsolved case.
Oh man.
We're going to go through very quickly some 4 options of what people speculate might have happened.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
So the first option of what happened that day is that the Jamesons family simply got lost in the woods and died from exposure. The temperature would have been around 40 degrees at night, and 8 days out there, the days go on.
But 3 miles isn't that far?
To hike back to your truck.
And yeah.
So say they did go put everything away, their cell phones, everything, took their coats off, put everything away, and then decided, oh, let's just run back that way for something without our cell phones or anything.
Yeah, that's
it's
weird.
It's
so weird.
You could probably stay alive for enough time to make your way at least back to the road.
Yeah, I just don't think you would leave your car without any of that stuff. It's so weird.
So that's the first option.
Okay.
Unlikely to me, but also I don't know what else, you know. So the next thing is that it was a murder-suicide, and that's why the missing gun is also missing. But they didn't find the gun, which how would whoever had been the last one killed in a murder-suicide shot themselves and then the gun wasn't found?
Could they tell if someone was shot, or would you not be able to tell?
No, they don't know because there was no damage to the bones. So they're not sure how they died. But, you know, murder-suicide due to the bad nature of their marriage or the bad spirits or the mental illness, anything like that could have caused a murder-suicide. And maybe that's an option. I don't think it is because, like, I feel like they would have found the gun.
Mm-hmm.
The next theory is that they were on drugs and were unaware of what they were doing and just wandered off that day, or were not doing it in a sane mind, like drove up there, weren't in the right frame of mind, wandered off, couldn't make their way back because they were under the influence. I don't know. That does seem to tie in a little bit to the weird surveillance camera, but also maybe they were just in a fight and loading the car and not looking at each other. You know what I mean? The next and last theory is that the family was targeted and murdered by someone. Like someone followed them up that day. Someone found them and had ill intention and murdered them. It could have been the father. It could have been the boarder who lived with them. It could have been the people who lived off grid nearby. There's even talk that maybe there was a cult that had targeted her because she was claiming she was a witch. And they had followed them up there that day and done it. But truth is, we have no evidence pointing to any of these things.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't even know what to think because there's nothing.
Do you think it's foul play or do you think it's natural?
I don't know. I really have no idea.
I don't think it's natural. I think that someone, even if it wasn't like that they knew the person, maybe it was just like someone who lived off grid or something and found them, or they got in a fight with someone or something happened where that would explain they were packed up getting ready to leave and then they met foul play, or they were taken away by gunpoint and that's why there's no evidence of a struggle.
Yeah.
Because if they grabbed the daughter, I feel like the parents would do anything to protect, like they would just go. You know what I mean?
But why was the gun gone?
Where's the briefcase?
And where's the briefcase?
And if they took the briefcase, why did they not take the money?
And what was in the briefcase? Because the briefcase wasn't with them.
And obviously it wasn't money.
And if it wasn't money, why would the person who killed
need
them
the briefcase?
Yeah.
And then also,
too many questions.
If it's like this, some weird thing that they're involved in, there would have to be a paper trail at some point to point to, like, oh, this is the trouble they had run into.
Yeah. I really don't know. I honestly have no idea because there's so many holes.
We have a lot of like backstory. We have a lot of, like, I don't want to call it evidence, but just details about them and about that day and about what they had in the truck and about their marriage and what they were involved in. And it doesn't lead us anywhere.
Yeah.
And that is
the
Jameson family disappearance.
I thought for sure you were going to be like, and then blah, 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 blah.
No, we have to throw in some unsolved ones. But I also, like, there's family out there wondering.
They had
people who cared and they had friends who cared and they're wondering what happened.
And they went missing. That is crazy.
And this poor family and their daughter, their 6-year-old innocent daughter is missing and there's
They died.
They're dead and there's nothing to show, like there's nothing we can say or help them or anything like that.
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We sound like a broken record, but we love you guys so much and thank you so much for supporting our show. And we will see you guys next week with another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.